and welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This week, we talk with attorney Gloria Allred, Caroline Heldman from Occidental College, John Thomas, Republican strategist, and later General David Petraeus. And right when we were about to begin recording this show, about 30 seconds before we started recording, we got news that the Robert Mueller report had been completed and had been submitted to the Attorney General. And so I began my conversation with Gloria Allred, one of the best known female attorneys ever, with that news. Take a listen.
We're just finding out that Special Counsel Robert Mueller has submitted his report to Attorney General William Barr. What are you looking for in that report?
I can't wait to see it. I know that millions of people are waiting to see it. The Attorney General has it right now. We'll have to wait and see whether the Attorney General agrees to make it public. I know that the public wants to see it, including apparently the majority of Republicans.
The President said make it public the other day.
The President said make it public, and we'll see whether he's going to stay with that. He is apparently exhibiting a great deal of anxiety over the fact that it may be critical of him, and he's trying to get out in front of that. But I think it's going to be public at some point.
So if the report says that there is not evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia, is that the final word?
No.
Are you satisfied with that?
Absolutely not the final word, because the House of Representatives, the majority of whom are Democrats, are going to continue their investigation. They have sent out countless subpoenas, and we will find out much more. It won't be the end. It will only be the beginning of the end.
The way you read the law, can a sitting president be indicted?
Yes. Absolutely. I believe that a sitting president under the law can be indicted because no one is above the law, including the president of the United States. And by the way, if he loses the election and is no longer the sitting president, he absolutely can be indicted. But I think he could be indicted before that, but for political reasons, probably wouldn't be.
Should we read into the fact that there haven't been more indictments announced, that there are no more indictments coming now that the report has been submitted?
No, because even if there are no more indictments coming as a result of the special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, the Southern District of New York is also doing a lot of investigations.
Let's talk about some other cases that are in the news. R. Kelly in the news again today. You're deeply involved in this case.
Yes, I am.
He appeared in a courtroom trying to go to Dubai to perform and to make more money. A judge hasn't determined whether or not he will be allowed to do that. Do you think that R. Kelly is a flight risk?
I think he's potentially a flight risk. He's facing in Chicago, in this pending criminal case against him, 10 felony charges of aggravated sexual assault. I think he is in a world of trouble. No matter the result of this Chicago criminal trial, whether he's acquitted, whether he is convicted, whether there is a mistrial, there still may be other prosecutions of him.
One of your clients says that he found a tape that may or may not show R. Kelly engaging in underage acts with inappropriate acts with somebody that's underage. Mm-hmm. Have you seen this tape, and what does it show?
I can't comment on whether I've seen the tape, but I'm very, very proud of my clients, Gary and Sally from Pennsylvania, who contacted me, and then we facilitated the transfer of this tape to law enforcement. Gary and Sally allege that they have seen the person that they believe and have confidence is R. Kelly on that videotape, and with more than one young woman that they believe they are minors. You know, if what is he's accused of is proven, he is one of the worst sexual predators I've ever seen in 43 years of practicing law.
So we like to play games on this show. This is called the name game. A little Beyonce there. So I'm going to say the name of somebody, and if you can think of one word response, the first thing that pops into your mind when you hear their name. You ready? Okay. First one is President Donald Trump.
Liar.
Vice President Mike Pence.
Extremist.
Bill Cosby.
Two words, sexual predator.
Harvey Weinstein.
Accused.
Les Moonves.
Discredited.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Shiro.
And Lisa Bloom, your daughter.
Lover.
Excellent. Let's also do something called personal issues. This is where we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock and ask you a bunch of questions real quick to get to know you a little better. All right, here we go. Ready? The favorite nickname for you. Do you have a favorite nickname?
For me?
Yeah.
No, I have a nickname others called me.
Best thing about being a Californian?
The weather.
Favorite book?
Don't have one favorite.
Okay, do you have a favorite superhero?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And you're gonna say that. Favorite meal?
Any meal.
Any meal, sounds good. One thing you said to me recently that I just wanted you to share with other people is, what do you say to the haters? Because there's been a lot of haters over doing this for 43 years that have called you a lot of names, and you said nicknames, like including some four-letter words. What do you say to them?
If I hear them calling me the B word or the C word or whatever other words they call, they might as well just haul up the white flag of surrender, because they're telling me that they have no good argument against what I said. So I guess I won my argument.
That's a great way to think about it. So we want to, you know, we've got a bit of news for our own show here. So next week, we were going to be airing in San Francisco on KTVU. So our show is expanding, which we're really excited about. And we want to thank everybody at home for watching and for helping with this. And we want to thank you as our most frequent guest in helping us sort of expand as a show as well.
Congratulations. I don't usually make predictions, but I'm going to make a prediction.
Yeah.
San Francisco is not going to be the last stop for the show. It's going to go to New York. It's going to go to other places. It's a great show, and I'm going to be very proud to say that I was here when it just started in Los Angeles on Fox.
How about that? What an interesting thing to say. Our thanks to Gloria Allred. Next up, a conversation with Caroline Heldman from Occidental College, a professor, progressive, and a conservative, John Thomas, who is very much on the other side. He's also on KFI Radio. Here's what they had to say about Robert Mueller.
Well, the real question is if it's going to be made public or not, right? If there is enough in the report to move on impeachment, I think that we will see the House move on that immediately. But, you know, I have some questions about whether or not we will actually have enough, Democrats will have enough to move forward. If they do, action will be immediate. If not, then it really becomes a question of whether or not there is enough here for perhaps other jurisdictions, like the southern jurisdiction in New York, to move forward against Trump. At the end of the day, though, the thing that I am most concerned about is Donald Trump stirring up strife and encouraging people to be very upset if they find something on him. And there have been, 34 indictments? So it's not that there's nothing there, but I'm a little concerned about Donald Trump's rhetoric around this and how he will respond if they actually do find either collusion or obstruction of justice.
We don't know what they're going to find yet. I think Democrats are bracing for the worst, which is there is no there. And you can see that in their rhetoric. They've already moved to an obstruction probe. And Adam Schiff was very smart. They want to keep this thing going. I think the challenge they've got is that public opinion right now on the process of impeachment is souring and souring. And if this report, we don't know what's in it, but if this report is not a bombshell, does not have some kind of secret handshake or secret phone call with President Trump to rig this election with Vladimir Putin, look, I think it gives credence to Trump's argument that this might have been a Democratic witch hunt in
John,
the first place.
34 indictments, come now. I mean, it's obviously
okay,
not
on process
nothing.
Crimes. Is it on collusion from top? No, it's not. Oh. I think the issue here is that I actually think this report will see again what's in it, but I think most folks in Washington are bracing that this might be, I hate to use the term, but a bit of a nothing burger as it relates to the president himself. But the issue is more of a political one, and that's if they push through impeachment without a hard smoking gun. does public opinion turn against the Democrats much in the way impeachment turned against the Republicans with Bill Clinton? Mm-hmm.
You work with Mitch McConnell. Mm-hmm. You work with Republicans in the Senate in a business way. Is there anything that the president could do that would lead them to try to vote to get him out of office?
I mean, you would need literally a smoking gun, a video, something concrete. And I just don't see that coming to light at this point. Well, so as we stand today, we'll see what the report says. I don't want to prejudge it.
He has engaged in a lot of obstruction of justice, I would argue, on Twitter, trying to silence people, meeting with people before they meet with Mueller, right? So it is pretty obvious that Donald Trump has been maneuvering in many ways. In many unethical ways to try to silence people who are involved in the Mueller probe.
Via tweet? I mean,
yes, via tweet. Okay. It's a public forum. It's okay. Actually going into the presidential record. That is a presidential statement. Yes, via tweet.
I don't want to prejudge the report, but I just can see how antsy Democrats are that I don't think there's going to be enough there for them to move forward. And if they do, they might sacrifice their 2020 reelect chances.
Mm. Time is long overdue for the American people to stand up, to say enough is enough.
Bernie Sanders back in Cali this weekend. He's still pulling in the crowds, but with his message now a standard part of many other Democratic candidates, has Bernie Sanders' time come and gone? Back with our panel, John Thomas and Caroline Heldman. So Bernie Sanders, is it kind of like deja vu all over again?
He has to be here because California moved up the state primary, so we now play a much bigger role. I think that it's smart for him to do this, but he has an uphill battle.
Yeah, and now last time around, he was basically the only alternative mm-hmm. to Hillary Clinton. Now there's so many other choices.
Yeah, he's such an interesting candidate because had you asked me this question 6 months ago, I would have said you can only run as an insurgent once, and his time's up. But since he's launched, I got to tell you, I've changed my tune. He is the OG. He is the purist on the issue. And if you're looking for a purity test of a Democratic socialist, he's your man. And the amount of money that he's putting together with small dollars tells me that he's going to run a viable campaign. The fact that he's in top two, the math is viable. If he wins Iowa, which he might, he will cruise through New Hampshire because they love him. And it's possible that he catches Big Mo and just is lit on fire.
I see it, John. I think he's going to get to more diverse states, and he does not play well with people of color, voters of color, and he actually has lower support amongst women. So my thought is that he might do well in those early states, which propelled him in the last Democratic primary, but he's going to fall flat, as he did in more diverse states like California.
Well, and another potential huge candidate is Joe Biden. But now there was reports leaking out that he's considering naming Stacey Abrams, who tried to be the governor of Georgia, as his running mate now.
Yeah.
What do you make of that sort of Hail Mary pass?
He's trying to compensate for a few weaknesses he knows up front in a Democratic primary. Primarily, he's an old white man, okay? So he needs to offset that. He also needs to offset the number one attack that's going to be on day one, which is the positions he took on criminal justice reform and in Supreme Court confirmation hearings. So if he comes out and basically uses an African-American woman as a shield and says, look who I'm going to put on part of my ticket, that's going to rebut it. I think the challenge is, I'm curious to hear your opinion, is that enough? She's not at the top of the ticket. And would that be enough to convince a Democratic electorate? I don't know.
And there is an African-American woman running to be on the top of the ticket,
Kamala Harris. I think the Democrats have two paths in front of them. They either choose a white male for the top of the ticket, because we do know that there is a penalty for being a woman running for this office. It is undeniable. We've had this data now for two decades, and we certainly saw that in the 2016 election.
In a Democratic primary?
I'm talking about in the general election. So choosing the most viable candidate. So you either go with a white man, and at this point in time, you have to go with a person of color, ideally a woman of color, as number two on your ticket, or you energize the party and you do put a woman or a person of color as the number one. I think this is an incredibly smart move for Joe Biden. Stacey Abrams is somebody who is a rising star in the party, and her rebuttal after the State of the Union was very well received. I think it's a brilliant stroke.
Thank you both for sharing your views. Passionate views on a very big news night.
Our thanks to Caroline and to John. Up next, a conversation with General David Petraeus, the retired four-star general. We talked at the Skirball Center.
Please give a warm round of applause for General David Petraeus.
I talked to David Petraeus at the Skirball Cultural Center. The four-star general once helped run the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq for President Bush, served as CIA director under President Obama. President Trump even flirted with the idea of bringing him in his cabinet. This week, the president announced U.S. support for Israel's sovereignty in the Golan Heights.
What's your response to that? Good move?
Well, my response is that it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in Congress with this, and perhaps even more interesting to see what happens in the Arab world.
President Trump's tweet comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, a Trump ally, struggles in the polls in his country.
I think it's a coincidence that Benjamin Netanyahu's up for re-election.
Do they do politics in Washington and in Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
And Jerusalem, of course.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
This event, hosted by the Syrian Institute for Progress, a group focused on bringing relief to Syria's civil war.
This has been so horrific. I have termed this a geopolitical Chernobyl, the meltdown of a country.
I asked Petraeus how Syria would look today if President Obama had listened to his suggestion to arm the Syrian opposition early on.
I will say that it's hard to imagine a situation that could have been worse.
In Petraeus' view, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad will retain power for the foreseeable future.
Saying that he ought to go is different from saying that it's realistic that he will go.
We also talked about North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
When you have a leader that may not be totally trustworthy, how do you go about that as a policymaker? How do you sit in a meeting with somebody
Wasn't it the former governor of this great state when he was president who said trust but verify?
Yeah.
I don't think you can fault the president for trying something very unconventional, given what the conventional approach produced in the past.
Petraeus hasn't endorsed a presidential candidate, but I asked him, would he serve in a future administration?
The greatest privilege in life, I think, is to serve a mission larger than self, which generally has to do with your country. But, I mean, that's a long way off and a big, big hypothetical.
But he didn't say no. You can hear my entire interview with General Petraeus covering a wide range of topics, plus all of our shows in podcast form. Just search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. Next week, this should be epic. Conservative commentator Ann Coulter squares off against progressive talk show host Stephanie Miller. That's next week right here on The Issue Is. And just to remind you, we're thrilled to be adding a second station, Northern California's KTVU. It's going to be part of The Issue Is family beginning next week. Bay Area viewers will be enjoying their show with their morning coffee Saturday mornings at 6:30 a.m. Tell your friends to watch.
Thank you so much. We can't wait for next week. We're really excited. We encourage you to subscribe to this podcast, to write us a review, and to watch us on TV as well. I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening.